of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Dad. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Jumbo Junior Airlines. You'll be dancing about everything when you see our elephants fly.
Welcome to this podcast. Welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
We have new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, so why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from? Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
Steve, do you remember when I first met you and you confessed something to me?
Oh my.
You confessed that you were a dumpaholic.
I do enjoy taking a trash. There's nothing that sounds more exciting to me than when I'm able to like take all of the things that are around the house just to the dump and just throw them in a great big pile and just be done with it.
Right. It's not very economically friendly, but it is very healthy for people to like spring clean their home
and just throw away
just get
everything.
Rid of all the junk that's cluttering up the house.
Everything.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It feels really good after you're done. It sucks while you're doing it because you have to make a mess. But after it's all out, you're like, oh, this is nice.
Right. Oh, it's true.
So I figured we'd do a Disney dump today.
Oh, what are we throwing away about Disney?
We're throwing out all the Disney news that has been bombarding us for the last little while.
Right. There's been a ton, right?
They've just been talking a lot.
They can't. Well, I mean, we're going into the summer season, so it seems logical that they
would
do so.
All their movie news is ramping up. Obviously, Star Wars is ramping up. So there's a lot of things coming out. And we don't normally make it a point to, like, talk about every single thing that comes out, because I feel like there's a lot of outlet for that already.
There is.
But, you know, it's fun to talk about anyway, so I figured we'd do just a whole Disney news dump all over this one.
Right. So, probably the one and only Star Wars Edge, Galaxy's Edge type thing, right?
No, there's lots of stuff from Star Wars. What do you mean the one and only?
The one and only thing to talk about this season?
Oh, is the one and only thing you
mean. Right, right.
Well, yes. I mean, it's a big deal. It's going to make them a bagillion dollars. And they're very excited about it.
How does the line go? This is the biggest thing that's ever happened on the face of the earth ever.
You know, I don't like to make fun of people because I enjoy when people are excited about stuff. But come on, y'all. Some of y'all are a little over the top. So they announced the opening dates of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge in both parks, right?
Yeah.
Good. It's great news. Everyone wanted to know. It was a big deal. But I saw somebody post the opening dates, and they're like, oh my gosh, you guys, you have no idea how big of an announcement this is. I had to go lay down. I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's exciting, but I think that might be a little over the top.
But we have friends. We have friends that absolutely would agree with that statement. I need to go
to
lay down.
To that extreme? Wow, all right.
We do have friends that way. And if they're
maybe
saying it tongue-in-cheek.
Maybe fiber in your diet if you need to lie down.
But if it's being said in like tongue-in-cheek or something, like that's all fun. Like I'm right. All for being that dramatic.
Like I said, I love excitement. Right. It's fun. It's fun to be excited about things, and it's also just fun to tease people that are over the top,
excited about it.
So for those of you that don't know, they announced that Star Wars is opening at Disneyland for my birthday on May 31st.
Birthday.
Best birthday present ever.
A new Disneyland.
And then on August 29th, down in Florida at Disney World.
They did announce that those are, in fact, dates.
Those are the dates. And now I need to lie down.
No, that's not true. But the reason I say it like that is because, like, they announced, though, that one of the reasons I kind of wanted to talk about this is apparently one of the big rides is not even going to be open for it at that point in time.
As if Disney needed to make a reason for people to have to come back.
Okay.
They are opening the land with one of only two attractions actually open at the time, which I find ridiculous.
Now, do we know if this is going to be Disneyland or is this having
it's both.
A,
It's both.
They're doing it intentionally at both parks this way.
Isn't that insane? Like, I understand that there's excitement to get into the park.
Wow.
I totally get it. However, I like to walk into an experience and have it be a complete experience.
Yeah, completely true.
But they,
now, this is news they need to go lay down over. Yes, I have to. They're doing this on purpose.
Yeah. They wow. are they are forcing people to have to come back whenever the next one opens. So the one that's not going to be open is Star Wars Rise of the Resistance, which I'm not 100%. I think that's the dark ride.
Okay.
It's not going to be open because the other one is the Smuggler's Run.
Which is the one that has six people in there? You all play
that's
your own
the
part?
Smuggler's Run.
That's Smuggler's Run. Okay, and it's going to be opened already.
Apparently.
I see. Okay. So this feels absolutely intentional then.
It feels kind of shady though, doesn't it? Like, ooh, we opened the parks a little bit early just for you, but by the way, we're only having one ride ready at the time.
Completely.
And I don't know if this means that Rise of the Resistance is being pushed back because maybe they're having issues with it or they need more time, or if they're legitimately just holding off.
What's the likelihood that they would be having a problem in both parks that's identical?
Very high.
You think so?
Mostly because it's a brand new ride. So there's always technical things that go into opening a brand new ride.
Okay, yeah.
If we remember Murphy the Dragon from Fantasmic at Disneyland, they can claim that something's going to be ready, and then all the chutzpah just goes out of it. Everything goes wrong, and they can't get it up quite in time.
Completely true.
So
and that
it's possible that they are running into issues, technical issues on it, and they're like, there's no way this is going to be open with the opening day. Let's go ahead and open the park and then we'll work on it and get it open later.
Sure. And it could be these, and it could be an identical issue that it's like this one thing is being made and it's going to take
right.
this long.
And they're both the exact same ride. So they're making two of everything.
And if that is the case, I mean, this is about the price that you pay for being a Disney fan because they are pushing the envelope all the time.
Right.
And so if it is legitimately the case, great. If they're being, you know, if they're, it just seems a bit, less than grand to open with only a partial portion
it
of it
sad.
Ready, right?
Yeah.
So I would imagine, I would hope that they would think that it would be, that it's a risk they're willing to take in order to get it open sooner than later, you know? But anyway, that's just
Could you imagine though, like, this leads into the next announcement they've made, but the line having only one attraction open in that land is going to be astronomically long. Like, there's only one attraction to do in that entire area, so that everyone's going to want to get on it, right? Nightmare.
Yeah.
But they've also announced that they have, we've seen a little bit of this while we've been walking around in Florida, they have an app out that will be downloadable for specifically the Galaxy's Edge area.
Okay.
And while you're on the app, you'll be able to apparently trigger things maybe in the area. It'll give you tasks to do while you're standing in line. And based on your reactions and how quickly you get things done, it will decide whether you're on the light side or the dark side of the Force.
Oh, interesting.
And it's something for you to do basically while you spend your entire Disney day standing in line to get on the one ride open.
Yeah, and I've given that a whole lot of thought recently about the additional activities that Disney has started working on.
Yeah.
And about why they'd be doing, why they'd be putting effort into that. And then it all of a sudden dawned on me one day. I was like, well, of course, this makes perfect sense, actually. Well, of course, this would make sense. So, for example, like the Pirates game that we played, right?
Yeah.
Like, they put a lot of money into that, and it's like incognito almost of sorts that you don't even know that it's there.
Sure.
You don't even know that it's happening. And then they're giving you free, you know, Disney gives nothing away for free. So, why would they be giving you these things away? You know, but then I thought, well, of course, because it's a much more affordable way to add a new experience to a park. They get you into the park more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but we have to print out a piece of paper as opposed to building a whole new ride. Okay.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And it's
the cost of a print is definitely cheaper than a ride.
Right, and that's what I absolutely love is that, like, they do, you know, entertain you on all different levels. And
right.
So, yeah, so that's great that they, I'm really excited to hear that they're doing a specific app to entertain you while you're in line for 17 hours.
Mm-hmm. But also, this is something that we discussed very briefly. We spent the first half of this show on Star Wars, but apparently, to get into the Disneyland Star Wars section, you have to have a reservation.
Oh.
If you are planning on going between my birthday, May 1st, and June 23rd, you have to have a specific pass to get into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Okay.
They will not let you in otherwise.
Okay.
And naturally, the guests staying on property are automatically given one.
Oh, we're automatically given one.
Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to shell out the money that's inevitably going to cost you to get into that park that time period, and then shell out the money to stay on property, they reward you by giving you a pass into Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, interesting.
So I don't know how many people outside of the hotel system they're giving these passes to.
They'll be none available.
But it feels very exclusive at this point.
Right.
So all these people are very excited for the opening on May 31st, only they're going to be very disappointed if they don't do their research and get there and find out that they can't get in.
Yeah.
Would be terrible, I think.
It could be terrible. I mean, yes, that would be terrible. But, I mean, you can't really blame them. And that's for both parks, right? Disneyland and...
No, as far as I know, that's only Disneyland right now.
Oh, interesting. This is kind of a new thing for them, right? Like, I've never heard of them doing that before.
They're getting... Well, they know that the lines are going to be outrageous. So I think they're trying to improve the initial experience for people so they get a good word out.
Uh-huh.
As opposed to people just going, the lines were ridiculous and it's not worth the wait.
Right.
Although people waited for Pandora for 9 hours and they're like, I would totally do it again, you know. So, you know, it depends on who you talk to, I guess. But on top of all of this, there was also a little bit of prickliness from the fans when they found out that Disney was adding a holiday tier to their ticket pricing.
Okay.
You heard about this?
I think you briefly mentioned it one day.
Yeah. So if you're planning on going to Disneyland or Disney World between Christmas and New Year's specifically, there's a new pricing for all tickets in both parks. So if you're going to Disneyland, California Adventure, or any of the four parks down in Florida, it's now going to cost you $159 a day to get into any of those parks if you're buying a day pass.
If you're buying a one-day pass.
Yeah. So people were like, excuse me, we as a family go specifically for the holidays, and you've just cranked up these prices on us. I can see there being a lot of outrage over it.
Especially if it's been a family tradition to go there for so many decades.
But after being there for New Year's, I don't know that it's going to slow anybody down. That place was so busy when we went.
Oh, yeah.
That... This is the problem, is Disney gets to keep raising their prices because they can.
Mm-hmm.
People will keep paying it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, unfortunately, the people that have large families or maybe save up for a long time to go are the ones that suffer for something like that.
Yeah, if you're a one-day pass buyer, if you don't have something built in, like, you know, because we're pass holders, right? Mm-hmm. And so we still get to go whenever we want, and they haven't blacked out that time period for us yet.
Right.
So, you know, I can't believe that it's $159 per day.
Ooh.
And didn't you say that there's an additional, like, you have to buy a specific pass also, like an add-on pass to get into Galaxy's Edge? Or no?
Not that I know of yet.
Okay.
That's only for Disneyland so far, is all I know.
Okay, I thought that I had heard somewhere that there was like an add-on pass and that you'd had to buy that specifically if you wanted to be let into that part of the park.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, but I literally was looking at Disney News today, and this is like the most up-to-date stuff that I had found.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% sure.
That might have been a rumor that we heard somewhere.
Yeah.
Well,
or it may just have been people talking about Disneyland and getting the two parks mixed up, because it happens all the time.
Oh, that could be. Because, yeah. I mean, if that were to happen, I would actually feel okay with it, because we're not necessarily getting in there. And yeah. That would make me feel better about not getting in.
I mean, I'm excited.
The fact that I was unwilling to pay for the pass.
Right. I'm excited for it, but I am 100% willing to let the super fans in first.
Right.
It's not a life-changing situation for me. I don't need to lie down. So the people that did need to lie down about it, you're more than welcome.
I do, after hearing the $159 per day.
Yeah, you're going to... Well, you don't have time to lay down. You got to get to work. How are you going to pay for it if you're lying down? So yeah, the holiday tier pricing was a bit of a thing. And then lots of Disney movie news recently. The Toy Story 4 new trailer just dropped.
Oh.
I haven't watched it because I hate new trailers. I like the teaser trailers because they're just the right amount of interesting to get you interested. The trailers now, they tell you every funny joke, they tell you every story point.
Yep.
So I'm avoiding it, but people are already really excited about the Toy Story 4 trailer.
Do people think it's going to be a fun one, or is it going to be a sad furnace one?
Ugh, probably a bit of both. You know how Toy Story is.
I don't actually. I think I've only seen one of the four.
What? There's only three, first of all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The fourth one's not out yet.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've only seen one.
We really need to jump ahead and start watching some Pixar movies so you can catch up.
Instead of make my music.
Right. As excited as people are about Toy Story 4, they're equally unexcited about seeing Will Smith as the Blue Genie in the upcoming live-action Aladdin
movie. Oh, for the very first time, right? Like, we saw some legitimate Disney backlash.
People are upset. I personally am not that offended by it. I've seen the screenshots. It's not that horrifying. Once again, I feel like people go to the extremes because that's how our society is. Now you need to have an extreme opinion. My opinion was more like, meh. It's another live-action Disney movie. I'm not sure what you were expecting. You keep paying them to make them. So if you don't like what they're churning out, stop going, you know?
Yeah. When I think of the character, though, of that Robin Williams created, and when I think of what Will Smith has done in the past, he's fun and outlandish, but I don't know if he's that.
No one can fill the shoes of Robin Williams.
Nobody can.
It's impossible, and it's an impossible role to try to step into, so completely. I have nothing but respect for Will Smith for agreeing to it. Because I can't imagine anyone else being like, sure, give me that. Yeah. You know? Like, it used to, I would almost say Jim Carrey would used to be able to
do
it, but now he's so mellow that I don't know that he could do it anymore.
No.
They'd really,
and that's a good point.
After doing The Grinch, he said he would never do anything like that again, so.
I could see that.
Anyway.
So good for Will Smith for trying to get
it. Good for Will Smith for giving it a try. I hate live action remakes, but, you know.
Yeah. Who would you, you just did. I was going to say, who would you have picked, but then you just did. Jim Carrey.
Yeah, Jim Carrey. But, you know, he doesn't really do it anymore. And then Guardians 3 had some news. The writer-director James Gunn was put back on the project after being removed from the project based on some controversy. I didn't really dig into it. People say that the whole spirit of the first two movies were this specific writer-director, and people were not sure that the third movie was going to move ahead without him. I think a lot of people really wanted him in that capacity. So he's been reinstated. Whatever opinion you have on that is totally up to you.
I didn't know we were doing that already.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, you know, in the last Infinity Wars movie, spoilers, half the people died that are in Guardians, so obviously they're back if they're making a third Guardians. This is the downside to announcing your entire movie outline for the next 13 years, Disney, is there is no suspense in killing off characters when we all know they're coming back.
Completely true, movie. Right? That was such the problem with that show.
Yeah.
It might have been somewhat dramatic if you hadn't known that they weren't, you know. It's almost like if one of your favorite characters on a soap opera dies nowadays, you're like, well, she didn't really.
Yeah.
She's just in a coma somewhere.
Mr. Disney, where is the gravitas? There is none when you see them coming up in the next movie.
Is that from Saving Mr. Banks?
It is from Saving Mr.
Banks. I love that show. She is the best, isn't she?
She's terrible, but yeah, she's the best.
She's the best terrible person there is.
She totally is.
Next to Miranda Priestly.
There was also an announcement about Disney's streaming service. Apparently, it's going to rival all the other ones, but I'm sure that's just
par for the course now.
Publicity speak. But it's also going to contain all of Disney's movies, is the press release. So we may have to not have to search around for your favorite old movies anymore if they're all on the Disney streaming
just
service.
Just go to one place?
Yeah. Plus they're putting out new content, almost like how Netflix has their series and things. They're wanting to do
that would make sense.
Disney type stuff. Again, my idea for a pirate series, still totally up for grabs. You can have it, just saying.
Oh, that'd be fun. Would you have it a weekly series? Like a weekly drama?
They don't really do that on those shows. Mm. They do like a season and then drop the entire season. So,
because if you're going to do a pirate show like that, like yeah. it'd be fun if they did it like Once Upon a Time that they did, you know, that was a very, it was like their dramatic lineup for ABC that night.
Right.
So if they did something along that line, those lines.
But I don't think you can do that on a streaming service.
Yeah, that's probably true.
But
you can't.
Far be it for me to tell Disney what they can and can't do. Maybe you can. Keep the suspense by making them wait a week to see the next one. That's the only downside to being able to binge watch everything is there is no more suspense.
Because then you can binge watch it all.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. Well, we'll just find out what happens right now.
Right.
And then, of course, the big news. Just today.
The biggest.
$71 billion deal closed for Disney.
Ooh, that price kept going up, I think.
Right. And now they own 21st Century Fox.
Aww.
They are becoming a juggernaut of media, as if they weren't already, but Disney is just looming over all of our lives like a dark cloud all the time now. Like, they control everything.
I would call it a Bob Ross happy little cloud.
Okay, rather. Sure. We'll go with happy little clouds.
So it did get approved and got closed and all that jazz. Good for them.
All that jazz.
Good for them.
It's a big acquisition. Good for them. I don't know what that means for everything. Like, they haven't really...
That's the park we get. The 20th century.
There you go.
That's our fifth park.
They haven't really mentioned much of anything outside of, yeah, we're taking over.
Mm-hmm.
But, and one last thing. Apparently, Frozen has done so well on Broadway that it's moving to the West End in 2020.
Oh, how nice is that?
Yeah. I haven't seen much of the Frozen Broadway things. Have you watched anything on it?
No.
No. I know a couple of people that have seen it and said they enjoyed it. It's an enjoyable film, so I would assume that just moving it to Broadway would be fine.
Yeah, they said there was big pacing issues, right? Because it was written as a three-part story instead of a two-part.
Well, this is the problem that they always have. Yeah, with stage musicals is you want a big number at the end of the first act, but then it's very difficult to keep the energy up in the second act if you do. You know, it's kind of like how in Vegas when they did Phantom of the Opera, they didn't drop the chandelier at the end of the first act like they normally did. They waited until almost the end of the show to drop the chandelier.
Oh.
So you got to rearrange things as needed, apparently.
I didn't realize that they had done that in Vegas.
Yeah.
Huh. So how do you then have Let It Go as the ending finale of
Frozen? You have it. I think you have it as
the
end of the first act.
Yeah, that would make sense. But man, if you just end the show right there, that's all you need.
Well, it'd be great in California Adventure. It was the showstopper in California, in my opinion.
Completely.
But it's like I always say, if you want to get into Star Wars Land at Disneyland, you better start working on it 3 years ago. Because it's going to be hard to get into.
Already too late, folks.
But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the entrance of Star Wars Land. And we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.